second monthly meeting of the Port of Port Townsend for Tuesday, November the 24th, to order. Stand for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so everyone's got an agenda. Does anyone have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Everybody has.
Yes.
Yes.
The minutes of October 24th, or October 14th.
Yeah, the minutes of October, so that, they're corrected in this agenda that we have before us. Does anyone get a new copy? There's some, the minutes that were online were incorrect, and the ones that we have in our hands should be corrected.
Let me just explain. The October 14th minutes, I misinterpreted a public comment, and it was requested that I change it, and I did, and it's in their minutes. They're going to re-approve. If anybody wants to see a copy of it, I do have that.
That raises, you know, we've gone back and forth on this over the years, you know, how detailed should our minutes be? Especially since we keep the recordings down, they're all digitized. Maybe something, you know, much smarter example, and we revisit our meeting policy if we have to update every year. Maybe we talk about that.
Thank you.
It's really hard for the two of those things. I wouldn't recommend doing verbatim. So,
no.
But it's, you know, Sue, certainly, I think what you do is just enough content that if people have questions and they want more, they can.
Right, except when I'm trying to interpret what.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Kelvin was trying to say, and I get to interpret incorrectly. That's not good.
I think it'd be useful to just have, you know, what they said, you know, basically the topic, so that they can figure out, okay, well, I got to figure out.
Obviously say, you know, the fall, you know, list the names of the citizens they had to comment on the 2016 budget, or, you know, so you know what they referred to.
Yeah, because if you're looking for a, if you're looking for a discussion on a particular topic, like I think Ron's topic was postponing the employee raises or something like that, just put down Ron, talk about postponing employee raises, so that, because if it just says Ron, he's talked, then we wouldn't know. We'd have to go back and listen to everything. But if, it was, if you're looking for a thing that's talked about employee raises, you can go say, okay, well, that's what I want to go to. And of course, the minutes have the time stamp in there so that you can go directly to the point in the audio minutes and listen to it. That's what you need. I think that would be useful to do.
So that's the only addition that I have.
Okay, so any other additions or corrections to the agenda? I move that we accept the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The consent agenda. I move we accept the consent agenda, which I, as it is, we all have that agenda.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Eric.
My name is Eric Taylor. I'm a pilot at the airport, resident, voter, all that. I guess it's not on the corrected minutes here, but there was a deal in the packet here on a discussion that I guess did not take place at the last meeting. I'm kind of unclear on that. On the runway repaving or replacement, did that happen at the last meeting or not? It's on the agenda at the uncorrected.
You mean on the minutes?
Uncorrected minutes, I should say, from the last meeting.
I think we just provided updating staff comments that we've had a long conversation with the FAA and the engineer about the runway project coming up in 2018.
Oh yeah, that's in the corrected minutes too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I didn't look
to it. Number 9, last page.
The corrected minutes are October 14th. Is he looking at November 9th minutes?
Oh, well, that's from, okay, you got me all mixed up here, which is hard to do. I wrote a letter, I got this, basically, this packet Monday, I got an email notification from the port and looked on the website and everything. I'm kind of wondering why there's discussion of replacing the runway out at the airport. You're talking, I mean, it's in really great shape. They just had a top coating project done 2 years ago. You're talking $1.7 million worth of FAA grant, which is usually a 90% deal. So pretty close to 1.9 million total. So 200,000 out of the port pocket, 100,000 if WSDOT kicks in their customary 5% to fix something that I don't think is broken. And I think before any further plans are made on that, there ought to be a sit down and a hard look taken at that. And it's not just the money. That, judging from the top coating project, that was a 7 weeks of off and on runway closures for a pretty simple job. So I've seen these runway replacement jobs run into 3 and 4 months worth of total closures. And especially the time of year those projects have to take place, that's going to be a big impact on airport operations and on the impact on the economy of the airport businesses as well as businesses here in town.
Thank you, Rick. I agree 100%. And
I would like to see a meeting maybe called specifically aimed at getting the airport community involved, whether down here or out at the airport or something, before too much headway gets made on this. Because once these things start going, it's kind of hard to stop them or to alter the course.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
Do you have any comments on that, Larry, as to how come we happen to do this, even though we don't?
You really want me to comment or call a comment?
No.
Let me say this. This is a very, very serious deal. And let me get all the information. You sent me an email requesting information. The FAA did a full, and Jim and I walked with her, full inspection of the runway last year. It's not in great shape. And this is part of the national priority inventory of airport system, where it's not just for the 80 some odd pilots at JCIA, this is for the whole country. Very serious, so let's get educated first and why the FAA wants to do it before we.
And we're a long ways out from this.
We're not talking anything for 3 years, so. Mm-hmm.
Misinformation is in there too, right? You're talking about.
It's public documents. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I don't know if you saw the email that I had sent. I don't know if you saw the email that I had sent in response to you, but
I
asked
did.
For the documentation about backing that up and requiring stuff, and so you'll get a copy of it.
Legal liability as well as financial liability if we reject the FAA's effort to replace runway now, and then when it becomes a safety issue, we may be, instead of a couple hundred thousand dollars, we're paying for $2 million for the runway. So.
Okay, another comment, Bertram?
Yeah, Bertram Levy. I have a brief comment. I listened very carefully to the audio on the budget negotiations, the workshops and meetings. And the discussion was dominated mostly by Mr. Tucker's inner circle, who wanted the commission to ignore the strategic plan and promote their own personal agenda. And these include economic development as the sole commission mandate, maximize profits on port services, ignore regional pricing, define market rates on the basis of waiting list, and raise rates until the waiting list is exhausted. And the corollary to exhausting the waiting list is keeping the raising the rates until you drive the local tenants out to make room for those on the waiting list. So except for Mr. Kleinfelter, the commission and the administration have appeared they've ignored the guidelines laid out in the strategic plan, which clearly state the budget negotiations should be tested against the triple bottom line. I never heard once any mention of the triple bottom line in all this discussion. Are you listening, Commissioner Puppet?
Yes, I am.
Okay. you can refer, I asked Eric Taves to send me this and also a definition of that. And also, I got it from the request of information. And in the section on the port's budget process memo from 2014 on May 1st, called Big Picture Priorities, it said it should include social consequence of budget decisions and to help local access to the port facilities. So I only have one question that I really need clarified from the commissioners. And since both you and Ms. Hanke don't answer my letters. I just like an yes or no on this one question. So I'd like to ask that individually. And the question is, I'll compose it to Commissioner Hanke first. Is your policy on port rates to raise mortgage rates until you have a significant reduction in the waiting list?
I don't have a comment, Burke.
Okay, I would take that as a no.
Yes, hey, Burke, that was not a yes or no. I said I don't have a comment. So you can't infer yes or no. Are you clear on that?
No, I'm not. I guess not. Would you like to write that to me?
You need to be. My comment to you is I'm not commenting, so that's not a yes and that's not a no. Are you clear on that?
I'm clear on that. I'm not
okay.
Clear. And Commissioner Tucker.
These are public comments, Burke. This isn't
okay,
a debate.
That's what I wanted to get. Find out. Thank you very much.
Any other public comments? Okay. We'll go to the second reading action items. Dog park. We have a presentation on the dog park.
Well, just as an introduction, the Yonkees were here about a month and a half, 2 months ago.
A few months ago, yeah.
And kind of briefed us on the concept of creating a dog park. And there's, I've noticed in the paper, there's been a couple of letters to the editor and some other articles. And it's something that we thought we might be able to help out with. And one of the parcels that were being analyzed, if you will, was the, it's actually about a 10-acre parcel. And you got the aerial here. It's not part of the airport. It's not FAA purchased land like the rest of the airport. It's land that we own outright. It's zoned residential right now. There used to be a little house out there that we actually rented for a number of years, and then I guess over the left, and we turned over the fire department for a practice burn. So it's vacant. It's got a paved access off Highway 20, and there actually is power and water into the property because of the old house. So with that, I think you made some progress. You're back.
Thank you for my presentation.
Yeah. and my dog Maggie is very excited.
Yeah,
about
no, just yeah. No, I'll still be brief. But just to remind you, our group is called DROP, which is Dog Recreation on the Peninsula. And our goal is to improve the quality of life for residents and the attractiveness of our region for visitors by developing and maintaining appropriately sized fenced off-leash dog parks in the Port Townsend and East Jefferson County region. So we spoke here a few months ago. We had a little hiccup along the since I was here last, but we've moved forward with establishing our group. So we are a registered nonprofit to the Secretary of State. Our articles of incorporation have been filed. Our 501c3 status is still in process. You do the articles first and then that comes in. But basically we are now a legal entity and we've been making rough design and budget estimates. We've talked to county parks and they were very excited and enthusiastic about our effort, but of course there are details to be worked out, which is sort of why I'm here today, to try and get to the next steps. As Larry said, our preferred site for, we're hoping there'll be actually more than one, but at this point in time we work with whoever will work with us, and you folks have been very supportive. So the preferred site is there between the airport and the transit facility. There are no competing uses. It's a great site from our perspective because there are no competing uses presently. There are no immediate residential neighbors, which if you could imagine putting a dog park in Port Townsend, the politics is much different. It is readily accessible by car, multiple directions, and it's very accessible now by public transportation. And dogs are permitted on transit. We have a Facebook page and a website set up, and we've had very enthusiastic response from residents both at Cape George and Port Ludlow, suggesting that this is a great idea and that they'd be willing to help both financially and practically. So the next step is to, from my perspective, to try and get the port staff and the county staff together and see what needs to be drawn up, what agreements need to be made, and to further make sure we're all on the same page, essentially. And so I guess, as I understand your process, what I'm standing in front of you today for, I know you have many more important things than a dog park, but this is a way that we can help out the community. And so I'm here to, I guess, ask you to release your staff or direct your staff, however you want to say that, to go ahead and meet with the county, and we'll make sure we're all working in a right direction for the community and go from there and develop whatever agreements, if it goes that way, whatever agreements would be needed to take the next step.
So I guess, would this be something then the county would be operating it or maintaining
it? As the nonprofit, it's, our goal is to, you know, do the fundraising necessary to establish it and to maintain it. My understanding of your charter is you cannot run recreational parks outside of those associated with economics of folk landings and that sort of thing. So I believe we would need some sort of very little, you know, low-cost lease agreement with the county, and then we would be sort of like an adopt the park. And, you know, the county would, the big things are, of course, liability, and hopefully they would, you know, they'd be willing to take that on as a leasee. But we would do the operations and maintenance.
Are you under any sort of timeline?
We are not, other than some of the people who signed our petition are, you know, how people are. Where's our dog park? And it's like, well, hey, come on. We haven't had one for 20 years, so.
Yeah, well, I can go.
But we would like to get moving, and, you know, we've got little plans. We're not talking about huge amounts of dollars here. You know, 1,000 feet of fence and 100 T-poles and then some wooden things to help stabilize the corners and gates areas is really what we're talking about for the immediate improvements. Maybe a load of gravel for the parking area. And, you know, at that point, we're kind of open for business. We would establish rules. We've been to all the dog parks, both at Squim and Kitsap and across the Whidbey Island. They all have posted rules that are fairly similar, and we would pretty much adopt those, tweak them maybe a little bit, but there's probably not much there. But we have a nice signage for rules and that sort of thing. There'll be a dog dispenser, and that's one of our ongoing costs. We'll have to, actually, my wife and I already pay for the ones out at the fairgrounds. Thank you.
And the business park.
And so, and we actually have one sitting in our basement waiting to be installed.
With 6,000 bags waiting.
So, and then we'll need some sort of periodic garbage pickup. And we'll, that's something we're certainly willing, we'll fundraise and try and get that taken care of.
And then do you guys anticipate a throughway between transit and the park? Is there a way that people don't have to go out on the road to get to the park?
We haven't gotten to that level of detail, and so I guess that's really what I'm asking is, you know, I'd love to have Jim or one of these fellows, you know, sit down with the county and see what makes the best sense.
They trans at one time. I don't know if they have a fence.
They don't have a fence, but there will be a little bit of clearance.
There's a footpath, actually, right now that goes from that property, which would be, you know.
Yeah, that whole corner.
This is no longer trees, that's transit. And there is a footpath that goes in there. I don't know.
I would think that'd be fairly easy. Staff would recommend that we agree to sit down with the county and with the nonprofit and just kind of get discussions going and see what this is gonna entail, and eventually come back at some point. We might be after the holidays, obviously.
Right.
You know, with any sort of suggested agreements, probably the rules of the operation,
right.
You know, so we can see that.
And I think we're all learning in this. I would just add, we wouldn't be asking right off the bat for any long-term agreement. It would be pick some reasonable length of time and see it. And of course, that land is really earmarked eventually for economic development, although it's been vacant for a while, but there's still many acres there to work toward that. And if you ever needed that land back, well, you know,
we could work back that into the lease agreement. We have had some interests in potential ag uses at some point in the future. So, but even that's kind of a compatible use.
Yeah. So the basic. Please forgive my computer skills, but I just did this to add up how much, you know, lines of fence and posts we really are talking here. You know, basically an acre makes a very nice small dog, elderly dog, non-active dog, smaller area, and then a large, an active dog, large area. And really what we're talking about, the phase from 12 acres.
Do you need this in the resolution?
No. We'd like direction from the commission whether you want us to pursue this.
I think
I'd
like to see a vote.
Yeah.
So it's not a resolution to sign anything.
So you're going to move that we approve?
Yeah, I was going to make a resolution.
To allow staff to explore the
I'm not talking about a lot of time here, right?
No.
Or resources for that matter.
It's a win-win, so.
Why not?
Yeah.
So I think that we are unanimous and are saying yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Let's lock after Thanksgiving.
We'll talk.
Yes. Okay, IB, the boat ramp update.
Can I ask a quick question, Larry? Are you guys going to have another meeting about the runway before you?
Yeah.
Sometime in the next 2 years.
3 years.
3 years.
This comes to that next.
They mobilized for the boat ramp. They started digging about 3 hours ago. So is that, Jim, you want to?
Yeah, I mean, we're on schedule. Everything's looking good. We, I'm looking over there right now. We've located the fuel lines, which were our biggest issue. Back in 97, when they put the fuel lines in, they never really put in where those fuel lines were and how deep those fuel lines were. So we've been kind of going gingerly digging. They found them. So now it's going to be, how do we work around them? Because obviously, we're going to go right into the ramp. The contractor I met with 15 minutes ago, he doesn't seem to think it's a big deal, but we need to address those fuel lines.
And there's a couple of it, appears to be about a 3 or 4 inch conduit that's empty. And you think that was probably put in a long time ago for future communication lines or something.
But they're on schedule, 6 weeks, we're thinking 6 weeks will be completely done. The great thing is the contractor wants to work with us. The ramp has been open all weekend. He's going to leave the ramp open as long as he possibly can. They might have to close it for a couple days, but for the most part, it's available for use.
So this fuel line issue, or elevation issue, did that result in a change order?
Because the contractor had no idea, and Larry Ozzie had no idea, and the plans didn't say how deep it was, so it was done 25 years ago, so.
That's one of the lessons when you put in infrastructure, record it, and make sure
David. I'd like to see a copy of those as-builts. Is that you guys have in your office, or where's that at?
Larry's got.
Yeah. I'll ask Larry.
That's really it.
Okay. So item C, the Quilcene wastewater update.
As you know, Commissioner Hankey and I went up to the county a month or a half or so ago, and told them that we would run the project. Take the $100,000 allocated under the public infrastructure fund, which is part of the 09 sales tax that's returned to rural counties for economic development, for infrastructure that supports economic development. And so we're running it. Our staff time is being paid for out of that $100,000. We're tracking it, and we're going great. But we put out request for qualifications to the talking engineering services. So these aren't proposals. So no money associated with this. This, we're going to try to select the best qualified to do the job. We have one more interview to do. That won't happen until the first. Then we'll very quickly rank order and bring a selection back to you. Probably for the first meeting in December. And what we normally do with these is we'll rank them, our number one choice, second choice, third choice, etc. Because we reserve the right, if we start negotiating with our first choice and we can't come to, we have a finite budget, and we can't come to agreement to work within that budget, and they say there's no way they can do it, they have to have more money or something. And we reserve the right to say, well, thank you very much for the application, and call the number two guy and just work our way down until we get best qualified for the amount of money available. So Linda Herzog's been in on this, on the evaluation. So the community is up on it. And we kind of set informally Labor Day as kind of the end date. We think this is about a 6 to 7 month process, figuring once we make the selection, then we're going to have to draft up a contract, have you approve the contract. And so they probably won't really start work until after the first of the year. So they should be able to have this wrapped up. And they all of them in the interviews have said they think that's a reasonable time. So that's really about it, unless they forget something. And if you want, we've got all the packets over in the office if you want to sit down and go through them on your own.
Okay.
Was this good after what, 2.5 years to follow? We move this project forward to the county put on the back burner.
Okay, so we have no first reading items, no potential immediate action items. So now we're to staff comments.
Staff, welcome back.
Well, thanks.
How was the bridge?
Huh?
How was the bridge?
The bridge and the True Value Hardware double truck.
Yeah.
So things are fine. Windy out there. My goodness, really good. Not here today. Oh, man. Any place else here? So, no, nothing else. Nothing. I'm sorry.
Happy to go.
I'm planning to, since the budget was approved by you guys last week, I'm planning to get that to the county this week for Thanksgiving. And, just wanted to update you. I met with ESD, who's our IT contractor, takes care of our IT systems, and they do a 6 month review just to kind of summarize what they've taken care of, that sort of thing. They do a lot on a regular basis, so these are really highlights of major items they've addressed. They addressed failed disk replacement in our servers. They helped us with our Sage accounting upgrade, which was back in July. There were new power supplies that were required for one of our servers, which they took care of. There were network changes that had to be done to facilitate the credit card reader changes that were done about a month or two ago. Also, they took care of problems that maintenance and environmental were having with their DSL. They had to work with Olympus on that. Working on a new, I think they've pretty much completed the data backup configuration. Our system backup was not completing the backups, and they were taking like 14 hours to even attempt the backups. And so instead of going with a tape system, we have a dedicated computer that's doing the backups, and it happens in a couple hours, which is a huge increase. And then, they gave us we requested a power-up procedure and schematic for when we have our outages. Because you go in the server room, there's a whole lot of different machines, and you want to know which one to do what with and in what order. So they put that together for us. And then, of course, they're continuing to work with Hanson Electric and CenturyLink on the fiber optics. We have new dates for Point Hudson. It's supposed to be CenturyLink starting there December 10th. And then over here, it's supposed to be done in January 18th. So once this building is done, then the whole thing should be completed. And we'll be up to a high speed, more reliable fiber optics.
In here.
That's it.
So maintenance is always going to be on the end of an old DSL line, right?
I imagine. Because I looked at the schematic and it doesn't, it's got Morage, Admin, Boat Haven, Commissioner's Office, and the yard. So I guess lines were run down there in preparation for fiber optics.
Is this going to be a change in our monthly expense for that? Right now we're like $600 a month.
It shouldn't be. In fact, we should have more efficiency too, because CenturyLink has built into its system their own firewall, and currently we have the Sonic firewall, and we have three of them in different locations. And it's kind of a filtration traffic monitor that, you know, tells the data where to go and when to go. And so it slows things down, it's not as efficient, and with it built into CenturyLink's fiber optics, that should be faster. And so I don't see that as increasing our cost.
So you just mentioned more yard maintenance and administration.
They're not in this schematic, but they're.
On the budget, Abigail, are you going to produce the final version of it?
I'll do pretty copies for general consumption, but not the county. They don't need that.
How soon will it be pretty copies?
Probably in December.
Okay, Sue?
Nothing.
I wanted to brief you on the VHF radio status of the airport. We've been talking about that for a long time, and Bill and I have met. He's here. He's prepared this document, which is a pretty good document. It shows coverage. We just had the AWOS people out to do the calibrations, and everything was checked out. The wind sensor was defective, and they're sending us a new one. It's in warranty, so that will be taken care of. But I wanted to give Bill a couple of minutes. We wanted to talk about relocation of the VHF antenna and what we could do. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. Anyone wants to hear about it, I'm happy to talk about it. There on the back is our two back two pages are our two coverage maps. The first is the current coverage, and the last page is the coverage after a move to the water tanks, the PUD water tanks up on the ridge that's to the northeast of the airport. Up on top of Woodland Hills. That ridge that the water tank sits on is the principal obstruction to the radio coverage. So getting on top of that ridge essentially eliminates any other obstructions. And you can see in that drawing what in the first picture looks like kind of a closed off, misshapen kind of pattern turns into almost a circular pattern, which is just limited by the transmitter power. The stations at the maximum transmitter power when the technician from All Weather was out, he did a test of the antenna and the radio, and you know what we have is up to snuff, but the ridge line just obstructs the radio propagation in that direction. So low flying aircraft coming across the straits and out of the northeast are at a disadvantage, and essentially they have to get very close to the airport before they can hear the AWOS. And people with airplanes that only have one VHF radio, when they should be listening to the other aircraft in the area, they're trying to get the weather. So if they could get the weather a little further out and then switch over and coordinate with traffic, it would be a lot safer environment. The first page of the handout is kind of a brief history of the problem and an evaluation of the problem and proposal for the change, which is again to create a communications link between the AWOS tower down at the airport and the water tanks. And then the second page is a list of equipment required to make that change. We would reuse the radio transmitter that's in the AWOS system and move it to a weather-tight enclosure up at the water tanks.
talked to Kevin Street on Sunday, who is the supervisor for the PUD line crews. And they're going to, there was an electrical service at the water tanks when they had telemetry from those water tanks when they took over the water system for Cala Point. Cala Point had a building there, so they moved all their telemetry into that building and they took the meter off the meter base. So they're going to put a meter back on the meter base to make the electricity at the foot of that water tank alive again. And then we'll use that to power the radios. My understanding from staff is that the use of the water tank is in compensation for some similar use of port facilities. So there should be no ongoing charge to the port for that.
Yeah, I should say that the PUD has been very helpful in this. They're giving us the tower for nothing. They're doing the electrical work for nothing for us. So they've been a good partner with the port in supporting this project. So the prices you see here are just parts to make the plug-in. And we're talking $1,200, which is pretty nominal, to relocate that service. And of course, with Bill's help, it's very valuable. Thank you for all your help.
So PUDs, they're supplying the labor?
Bill's going to supply the labor. PUDs are supplying their water tank.
You're out there with your own? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you need a...
Just an update.
No, it's just an update. It's...
You know, one thing that happens too, Bill, I was just looking at this map. I mean, if you're coming in from the north and, you know, if you're in anything that's got a little speed to it, you're only, by the time you hear with this current system, by the time you hear it, you're only 2 or 3 minutes away from the airport.
Right.
So it would really be a benefit if you're flying low and you're in a fairly quick plane that you're going to have a lot more lead time to kind of get a feel.
Yeah, Whidbey approach likes to keep general aviation aircraft low over the straits to be under the approach for Naval Air Station Whidbey, because there's a lot of fast movers on that approach. And that's what limits the coverage. If people were out there flying at 5,000 feet, you know, they wouldn't have a problem, but Whidbey wants everybody down low. And by the time you hear it, you're kind of approaching the coast of Port Townsend, which is way too late to start listening for other aircraft.
So, you know, the pilots, they have the military operation there in the MOLA, come straight down the straits, kind of a long, and I think the lower end of that is only, can't be more than 5,000 feet up.
Oh, it's lower than that.
I think it's 3,000 feet, so, I mean, you gotta stay pretty low to stay under that.
And Eric, what the usual crossing altitude is for, like, when the island is over? What do you
mean? I've done it at 35, 55. I don't think they care unless they got something out there right then. Mm-hmm. That MOLA is very rarely active. Restricted 6701 is very rarely active. Bird 680 is active fairly often.
They usually play a bit at night. My house is right at lookout over the straits to the north.
Well, just because they're flying, that doesn't mean the MOA is active. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they do fly a lot, the B-3s, and they'll be flying the
Well, you know, as long as pilots coming back from San Juan, flying directly over my house. Thank you.
You're welcome.
To the rate at middle point,
you
that's
know,
kind of a visual.
That's all I have.
Great conference last week with Washington Public Ports. There was a lot. I got samples of a number of policies. I'm putting together a little work plan to present to the commission at the workshop in January. You know, there's always those standard things that we have to update by RCW, but things like Port of Olympia has adopted it's code of conduct, also a work, what do they call it?
Meeting procedure.
Well, it's part of the meeting procedures, transaction plan, and I really like the detail it went into. And it also described, you know, the role of the president of the commissioner, the vice president, secretary, know, and it kind of went through the purpose of the executive session, just kind of put it all together, a nice neat little basket. But the other big one, in the Marina Committee that I attended, Port of Anacortes gave a presentation on their liveaboard policy. And I think there's some things that we could cherry pick out of that to make our policy a little bit tighter and better. So anyway, I'll be putting all that together and make a presentation in January for you to look at. I'll probably feed to you before that, but that's really it. Other than Thanksgiving, we'll be closed Thursday and Friday here at the port. So.
Okay, public comments. Any more public comments? Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I was, according to local newspapers, the port may have to sell properties to improve their financial situation. And I'm thinking that properties zoned residential may be at the top of the list, so maybe you should consider that before making any big commitments to other people. And also, I have a request that you get microphones so people can understand what everybody's saying on the tapes of the meetings.
Jackie, I am experimenting today and I've got it aimed towards you guys, so we'll see if that makes a difference.
Well, even people on the tables, you can't often understand everyone.
When I listened to those, I couldn't hear you folks on the side, but when I put the earplugs in, I could hear you fine. So using an external speaker is not as effective, but the earplugs do work.
That's what one other person told me too. Yeah.
This is our new high definition microphone too.
Well, actually, I can hear it on my computer, so I think it kind of depends a lot on different computer systems.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I try to listen to it on my computer, it doesn't come in as well as it does on my iPad. It's all easier to navigate, and it's also much more clear on my iPad for some reason. And I mean, that to me is not the microphone, that's more the transmission device, whatever, the listening device. And I listen to minutes a lot, and I find that, like you suggested, that it's close to the table, so I can almost always hear us. But it's the audience comments, the ones that I'm really trying to have to really listen to hear.
Well, you know, in the old days when we were doing on tapes, we had a microphone on the podium and we made everybody come up to the podium, you know, to speak, so it was a little more uniform. So we'll look at that.
Thank you, Jackie. Any other public comments? Okay, Commissioner comments?
How's the capital facilities plan coming?
I was handed the first draft for me to read this morning. So that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'll be able to read that. And we'll be making a presentation at the December workshop.
Okay. So. Something we'll be able to take home with us then?
Yeah. It, you know, Eric, God bless his heart. I'm going to have to run this one through the that website on. We had a great speaker about using one syllable words so everybody can understand what you're trying to say. There's there's 28 pages, 8 pages of which talk about global warming. So I may be taking a few of those pages out after I get that reading.
So,
you got a level.
Larry touched on quilting and what do we call them?
Wastewater.
Treatment.
Not septic.
Yeah. Really exciting to see that moving forward. And we've got to get a consultant on board. So. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with the community because not all of the community wants this. So. As we kind of push it over the hill, it'll be interesting to see where it gets.
You know, they got divided, aren't they?
It's just divided.
Yeah, we told them all.
Why?
Well, it's the unknown of how much is it going to cost to pony up for this thing. And so that's why I'm excited to see this get put to black and white, because then we'll actually have a number that we can put in the hand for them.
Well, a large part of what we've asked these firms is we've asked them to describe their outreach to the community as part of the process, because we see three different groups down there. You've got the one group that is still waiting for the logging trucks to return. And they're kind of, it's the old timers that, kind of created that whole community. And you've got the newcomers that kind of left society and just, they like Quilcene because it's Quilcene. And they don't really want to see much change. And you got another group of somewhat newcomers who see the potential and would like to get things moving again. And something like a wastewater treatment, if suddenly those 90 commercial parcels along 101 could be developed, that really changes the character of the community. So it needs to be more than just the owners of those 90 parcels. It really needs to be a community effort to make sure everybody's on board. And there will be a cost. It's like any utility like that, once you plug into it. And there's different ways. All the consulting firms had had an idea that might be phased in, mechanisms, that sort of thing, rather than everybody get hit at one time and lump sum payment. But it could drastically change the.
I just heard in early discussions that participation could be optional. So it's not the case.
That's one of the options for.
Yeah, it could be optional, but it's success of the project then depends on how much participation there is. So
it could be, if you have a viable septic, at this point, once your septic needs to be replaced, that's when you sign in, whether it's next year or 5 years from now, whatever. But we'll see. It's just a feasibility study at this point. See where it goes.
And then we're coming?
No.
And my comments is we just kind of finished our really busy conference season. We had a small ports conference in Leavenworth, and we had an MTA, National Marine Trades Conference in Bremerton, and the big port-wide conference in Seattle. And there's so much stuff that I get out of those things. They've got notes like crazy, and I'm distilling down. And we're going to add them to the stuff that Larry and I have been discussing at the workshop in December. But there's just so much valuable information on how to work ports and what ports are doing well and what things not to go near because they don't work well. We come from those. And it will be good. We'll start going through the first year. So the next meeting will be a public.
Did you have comments? No comments?
Did I what?
Did you have comments?
Yeah. I just had a question that I already asked. So.
The next meeting will be a public workshop Wednesday, December the 9th. Is that correct? It's the 9th, I assume. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the meeting that will be at 1 o'clock, the workshop at 9:30. And there's no executive session, so this meeting is adjourned.